Chapter 12. Road Trip to Houston. It was a clear blue sky Saturday morning, and the bright sunshine lit up the inside of the firehouse bays, as Violet arrived just before 10 o'clock. She wasn't surprised to find Sam already here. His usual boundless energy charged the air. They both had small rolling suitcases, modestly packed for their two-night stay in Houston, and Violet was also bringing her laptop. It was an exciting morning, and they were anxiously looking forward to their adventurous assignment at the Calvary Christian Center of Houston. "Are you ready to escape to Houston for a few days?" roared Sam with a big smile and excited eyes. Violet mirrored his enthusiasm. "Oh yeah, more than you know, Sam." The prospect of a change of scenery, coupled with the promise of good pay, ignited a spark of camaraderie within them, reminiscent of their college road trip days, but duty came first. Before hitting the open road, they had a crucial task, ensuring their ambulance was fully stocked with vital supplies. Meticulously, they worked their way through the inventory list, their movements, a practice ballet honed from over a year of working together. It was a familiar routine, yet today held a subtle undercurrent of the adventures to come. Inside the cab taped to the steering wheel was a note from Captain Rocky, asking them to come into his office when they were ready to leave, and they were about ready to go. A playful grin spread across Violet's face as she peeked into Captain Rocky's office. Finding him looking up from his desk, she gave a theatrical wave before entering, Sam following close behind. Violet announced with cheer, "Captain, we're ready to roll." The infectious enthusiasm in her voice mirrored the big smiles on both their faces. Captain Rocky returned their smiles with a nod of approval. "Excellent," he said. "You're making good time getting ready." Sam, ever the logistical one, added, "I just did some calculations, and we should get there with plenty of time to spare." Rocky leaned back in his chair, and his expression turned serious, saying, "I want your undivided attention, and listen closely, because this isn't just another call." He began his code of conduct lecture. "While you're in Houston, consider yourselves ambassadors for the city of San Antonio. I wouldn't have recommended you for this assignment if I didn't have the utmost confidence that you'd represent us well." A chorus of, "Thank you, sir," echoed from Violet and Sam, their faces reflecting the importance of Rocky's words. Rocky inquired, "Any questions before you head out?" After giving it some thought, Sam asked, "Do you have a name for the director we'll be meeting with?" Rocky reached for a note on his desk and passed it to Sam, saying, "Dr. James Stafford. Like I said yesterday, he's expecting you at 3 p.m. sharp. However, I suggest arriving a bit early. The Calvary Christian Center is a large complex, and finding him might take some extra time." Both Sam and Violet nodded in agreement. "Alrighty then," Rocky concluded, waving his hand in dismissal. "If you have no more questions, you're good to go. But remember," he added, his voice turning serious once more, "if you encounter any difficulties at all, don't hesitate to call me. I'll keep an extra close eye on my phone while you're out of town." As Rocky watched them leave, thoughts of concern crossed his mind. With the attack at the Alamo Center still very fresh in his mind, he wondered if he was sending them into harm's way. With Sam confidently at the wheel of the ambulance, they pulled away from the fire station and embarked on their three-hour journey east. It didn't take them long to make their way through town, then get onto Interstate 10, the primary corridor stretching across central Texas. The landscape heading east, a tapestry of rolling prairies and farmland, punctuated by the occasional speck of a town, promised a smooth and easy ride. With a comfortable buffer of an hour before their meeting with Dr. Stafford, the trip offered a welcome calmness, especially in light of the previous chaotic few days. Anticipation was in the air as they left San Antonio behind, and the promise of good tunes as they traveled. Both Sam and Violet, armed with music libraries on their phones, were eager to get lost in the rhythm of the open road. Their musical tastes, while diverse, found common ground on most genres. Yet, Sam harbored a deep-seated love for the unparalleled artistry of music from the 80s, while Violet's heart belonged to the electrifying energy of more recent hits. As the civilization of town thinned and the sky opened up, Sam declared, "All right, it's time to turn this adventure into a concert, time for some traveling music." Sam had already linked his phone up to the ambulance's sound system before they departed, and with ease, he hit the play button. The first notes of a hard-driving classic surged through the speakers, instantly transforming the sterile cabin into a vibrant soundscape. Violet, with a big smile, looked over at Sam and gave an enthusiastic thumbs up in approval. However, Violet wasn't one to be easily outdone in the music department. Anxious to share her own musical treasures, she proposed a compromise. "How about this, Sam," she suggested, "we conquer the first half of the journey with your playlist, and then I get to unleash the fury of mine for the second half, deal?" Sam's eyes lit up, impressed with Violet's musical determination. "Sounds like a perfect plan, partner," he replied, already picturing the diverse musical tapestry that would unfold over the next few hours. With the promise of a shared concert adventure on the horizon, they settled back in their seats, ready to let the music and the open road carry them towards Houston. The festive spirit of New Year's Eve was in the air, a welcome contrast to the usual hustle and bustle of a Saturday. With most businesses closed for the weekend and the holiday, the normally congested highway between San Antonio and Houston was widespread and flowed freely. Violet and Sam, relieved by the lack of traffic, reveled in the stress-free journey. Eventually, as the sprawl of Houston crept into view, a network of freeways and skyscrapers could be seen in the distance, and the urban sprawl was gradually replacing the endless Texan prairie. They decided to pull into a conveniently located truck stop. Their priority was twofold: ensuring the ambulance had a full tank of gas, and satisfy the hunger that had begun to gnaw at their stomachs. The pit stop was swift and efficient, and it wasn't long before they were back on the road, navigating their way towards Houston with renewed energy, each of them clutching a well-deserved sandwich. The stark contrast between the open prairie they had left behind, and the urban sprawl that now engulfed them, was a reminder of Houston's vastness. The city traffic, though heavier than the open highway, didn't slow them down. Their destination awaited, and the promise of a successful mission, fueled by both duty and their delicious sandwiches, propelled them forward. Finally, relief washed over Sam and Violet as they pulled into the sprawling complex of the Calvary Christian Center, with still a comfortable 35 minutes to spare before their meeting. Sam, his memory still sharp from a previous assignment here a few years back, pointed out a gated area to Violet. "Right there, in that fenced-in area," he explained, "is where we'll park tomorrow. It's reserved specifically for staff, support vehicles like ours, and commercial deliveries. For today, we'll just find a spot in the main lot out front." Violet climbed out of the ambulance, her eyes widening in surprise. "Wow." She was amazed, gazing at the immensity of the complex. "This place is massive. It dwarfs what they show on TV." Indeed, the Calvary Christian Center wasn't simply a church, it was a sprawling Christian community center, with many different facilities. The inside of the sanctuary, commonly shown on TV, though undeniably impressive, was just one facet of the entire facility. Violet estimated the sanctuary occupied roughly just a third of the Christian center. The televised sanctuary, she recalled, boasted a seating capacity exceeding 15,000, a staggering number, but only a hint of the center's true scale. Stepping out to join Violet, Sam agreed, saying, "Yeah, it's enormous, and the inside is just as grand. There's no doubt this is a well-funded church." He surveyed the complex with a mix of awe and professional curiosity. Their mission here promised to be unlike any they'd encountered back in San Antonio. Sam, with his trusty notebook tucked under his arm, led the way as they entered the main entrance of the Calvary Christian Center. The sheer volume of the place hit them immediately. A vast, expansive lobby stretched before them, dwarfing even the grand entrance of the Alamo Center back in San Antonio. In the center, a large circular information counter served as the central hub, its design clearly intended to manage the flow of potentially thousands of visitors. Several staff members stood behind the counter, their vantage point offering a near 360-degree view of the bustling lobby, thanks to the counter's circular form. The counter itself was a tasteful blend of modern and traditional. It was crafted from warm natural wood with an elegant finish, and accented with a soft blue LED lighting system that cast an angelic glow. The effect was both functional and aesthetically pleasing, creating a welcoming atmosphere, despite the center's immense size. Sam and Violet approached the information counter. A friendly woman with a name tag that read, "Alice," greeted them with a warm smile. Sam cleared his throat and said to Alice, "Hi, we're here to see Dr. James Stafford, the director." Alice's smile faltered slightly as she recognized their uniforms. Emergency medical technicians, in uniform, weren't typical visitors at the Calvary Christian Center. With concern creeping into her voice, she asked, "Is everything all right? Is there an emergency?" Sam quickly reassured her. "No, everything's fine," he replied. "We're actually going to be on duty here tomorrow, and Dr. Stafford is supposed to give us an orientation on the facility. We have a 3 o'clock appointment." With a sense of relief in Alice's face, her smile returned. "Oh, okay," she chuckled with a touch of embarrassment. "You had me worried for a moment there. Let me just give Dr. Stafford a call, and I'll let him know you're here." Conveniently positioned beside her, she reached towards a sleek desk phone with a speed dial directory. Picking it up, Alice pushed the button for Dr. Stafford. A brief phone conversation ensued. "Hello, Dr. Stafford. This is Alice at the information station in the main entryway. I have a couple of EMTs here. They say they have an appointment to meet with you for an orientation." She listened for a moment, then she spoke again. "All right, I'll let them know." Then she hung up the phone. "I spoke to Dr. Stafford," Alice explained to Sam. "He seems to be a bit tied up at the moment, but he's expecting you. He said he needs to find his assistant first, then they'll both be down here in about 15 minutes. "Sounds good," Sam said while glancing at Violet. "We'll be happy to wait." Violet, always appreciative, added, "Thank you so much. By the way, this is a beautiful place." Alice's smile widened. "Thank you," she replied. "I'm glad you think so, and it's a wonderful place to work. When I see Dr. Stafford and his assistant come in, I'll be sure to send them your way." Sam and Violet, happy to wait, spent their time waiting, taking a tour of the grand lobby. The brief encounter with Alice, leaving them with a newfound appreciation for the welcoming atmosphere of the church. As Sam and Violet strolled through the expansive entry room, their gazes were drawn to the displays lining the perimeter of the lobby. These weren't your typical church bulletin boards, filled only with announcements and upcoming events. Instead, they showcased full-color photos and exhibits, professionally on display inside glass cases. Collectively, they presented a vibrant tapestry of the church's various groups and initiatives. Many of the displays pulsed with the lifeblood of the Calvary Christian Center's community outreach. Violet, always the sentimentalist, stopped to study a lot of the displays with genuine interest. "This church is a real cornerstone for the community," she remarked, with a hint of admiration in her voice. "It seems like they have an active group dedicated to every cause imaginable, all working to make the community, and even the world, a better place." Sam, nodding in agreement, he added, "You're absolutely right. It's clear they must generate a significant amount of income from their church members, and also their television evangelism. As I look at these church projects, it's apparent they're putting that money to good use. Look at the sheer variety and size of these programs. From after-school mentoring for at-risk youths, to operating a massive food bank for the poor, the work they do is truly impressive." "Absolutely," agreed Violet, her enthusiasm piqued. She added, "They should definitely showcase more of these initiatives on TV. It would be a great way to inspire others and demonstrate the true scope of their charitable work. Plus, I think it would inspire other churches to do more of the same." "I agree," Sam replied. "They certainly seem to embody what a church should be, a catalyst for positive change and support for their community. It's clear that their mission extends far beyond the walls of the sanctuary." Suddenly, a gentle voice from behind them broke through their conversation, startling them slightly. "Money is only as good as the goodness it can do," it said. Turning around, Sam and Violet found themselves face to face with the very man they had come to see. Dr. James Stafford, as the name tag on his impeccably tailored suit proclaimed. He was an elderly gentleman, but his eyes sparkled with youthful warmth. His smile, both kind and distinguished, instantly put both of them at ease. "Hello," he greeted them with a welcoming tone. "I'm Dr. Stafford, and I'm delighted to see you both taking such an interest in our church's work." Sam, ever the picture of professionalism, extended a hand for a handshake, saying, "Your church is impressive, Dr. Stafford. It's a pleasure to meet you." Sam began introductions. "This is Violet Wheeler, and my name is Sam Harris." The three of them exchanged handshakes, the brief exchange setting the stage for what promised to be a fruitful orientation. Dr. Stafford inquired, with a curious look on his face. "Is this your first time here?" His voice carrying a hint of anticipation, perhaps to show them something special for the first time. Sam stepped forward, his mind remembering back to a previous assignment. "Actually, I was here a few years ago," he replied. "I worked here as an EMT during the aftermath of Hurricane Larry." Violet, eager to contribute to the conversation, joined in. "This is my first visit, but I've watched your pastor, Daryl Donovan, on television quite a bit. He's very inspirational." Dr. Stafford's face lit up with pride, saying, "Yes, Mr. Donovan is definitely inspirational. We like him a lot." Dr. Stafford took a moment to scan the lobby, as if he was looking for someone. With a concerned frown, he said, "I was hoping my assistant would join us," his voice reflecting disappointment. "Perhaps he'll catch up." With a welcoming gesture, he continued, "Let's head into the sanctuary. I want to give you a proper tour." As they approached one of the grand entrances to the sanctuary, its imposing extra-large doorway stood closed. However, a desk positioned beside the doorway was occupied by a staff member. Dr. Stafford, ever the consummate host, introduced everyone. "This is Bob. He's been with our church for a very long time." Invitingly gesturing with his hands, "Bob, I'd like for you to meet Sam and Violet, EMTs on loan from San Antonio. They're here today for an orientation, and they will be on duty here tomorrow." The three of them exchanged a firm handshake and greeting, a brief but efficient introduction. Bob, dressed in a sharp black suit and a blue tie, bore a badge around his neck that marked him as a member of the facility's staff. Dr. Stafford explained, "This attire is quite common around here. Even on a relatively quiet day like today, there are likely at least 8 attendants dressed like Bob stationed throughout the complex. It's important for you to know that, because in case of an emergency, and you need help to find your way, look for someone dressed like Bob. Staff members dressed like Bob can help you get to any place on the property, quickly." Both Sam and Violet gave a nod of understanding, with the information sinking in. Dr. Stafford turned back to the attendant. "Bob, would you be so kind as to open the sanctuary doors for us?" With a "yes, sir," Bob removed his badge from around his neck, then held it up to the digital lock on the door. A second later, with a click, the door was unlocked, and Bob opened the door. Dr. Stafford, a passionate and expressive guide, led the way down a wide corridor that eventually opened into the breathtaking expanse of the sanctuary. The sheer scale of the space took Violet's and Sam's breath away. Rows upon rows of stadium seating stretched out before them, creating a visual symphony of order and grandeur. Even with the majority of the lights dimmed, the sanctuary was bathed in a soft celestial glow, illuminating its vastness. "Wow," Violet exclaimed, with her voice totally filled with awe. She stood for a moment, her eyes wide with wonder, just taking in the sheer magnitude of the space. She felt as though she had been whisked away, magically transported to the heart of a famous colossal cathedral. The towering heights and expansive layout, evoking a sense of both reverence and splendor. The cushioned seats were both inviting and plush, seats that promised both comfort and a sense of intimacy amidst the overwhelming scale of the room. Sam, despite his previous assignment here, also found himself equally captivated by the sanctuary's majesty. The memory of his earlier experience had faded, but was now renewed. The profound visual impact of seeing the space once again was emotional. As they walked further into the heart of the sanctuary, a sense of its immensity continued to overwhelm them. Finally, reaching the center of the sanctuary, in front of the imposing pulpit, Dr. Stafford turned to face Sam and Violet. With his arms outstretched in a gesture of welcome, and a broad smile spread across his face, he proudly proclaimed, "And here it is, my friends. The heart of the Calvary Christian Center." Violet and Sam stood in silent awe, their eyes drinking in the immensity of the sanctuary. This church, familiar from the television broadcasts, now unfolded before them in tangible reality. Violet spun slowly on her heel, taking in a full 360 degrees view. "Wow," she said, pausing to take in a deep breath. "So this is the view Daryl Donovan has when he delivers his sermons." Dr. Stafford appreciated their fascination, but then he began to provide a practical overview of the facility. "In case of an emergency," he explained, "if you have to rescue a person from their seat, The only stairs you may need to negotiate are those you see leading upward from the upper entryways into the stadium seating. Those upper entryways have no stairs leading to them. You can access those upper entryways along ramps. There are ramps and smooth rolling surfaces everywhere else in the church. Sam and Violet nodded, absorbing the information. Dr. Stafford continued, "Typically, if you receive a call for assistance, you'll bring your stretcher to the nearest accessible rolling point and park it there, before assessing the patient's situation. At that point of the rescue, you would make a decision as to whether or not to perform a stair chair evacuation." Violet nodded in understanding. "That makes sense," she replied. Dr. Stafford pointed upwards at a booth, a kind of office with large windows, situated on the perimeter near the top of the sanctuary. "That's the sanctuary's control room," he explained. "If someone in the control room notices a person in distress, they'll radio our in-house first aid station. Occasionally, a guest might dial 911 directly. In that case, the emergency operator will initially contact our first aid station." Pausing with a warm smile spreading across his face, he asked, "Do you have any questions before we head over to the first aid station?" Violet raised her hand. "How often do you typically need to use a stretcher or an ambulance for medical emergencies?" Dr. Stafford considered her question for a moment, then answered, "Most people who require first aid are able to walk to the first aid station on their own. It's rare that we have to rescue them from their seat." Then he added, "However, given our congregation has a substantial elderly demographic, we sometimes have to use an ambulance to transport someone to the hospital, perhaps about once every couple of months. Regardless of the situation, our priority is to provide swift medical attention. That's why your presence here is so crucial. It enables us to respond to emergencies much more quickly than if we had to wait for an ambulance to be dispatched from somewhere else across town." With their questions answered, Violet and Sam stood ready to follow Dr. Stafford as he turned to lead the way. However, Violet hesitated, a wishful expression crossing her face. "Dr. Stafford," she began, her voice soft but determined, "would you mind if I said a quick prayer before we continue?" Dr. Stafford's face broke into a warm smile. "Sure, absolutely," he replied, his voice filled with genuine respect. "Please, take all the time you need." Facing the imposing pulpit, Violet placed a gentle hand on the raised platform. Sam and Dr. Stafford stood beside her, their presence a silent affirmation of support. With a deep breath, she began her prayer. "Dear God, thank you for your abundant blessings and guidance." She paused for a moment, then continued with her voice filled with heartfelt compassion. "Please watch over Dave and his family during this difficult time, and grant Julie the strength to navigate her challenging journey. Also, please tell my husband John that I love him and miss him very much." After another short pause, she continued, "As I strive to live my life to the fullest, to be the max, I do so with gratitude, and to honor your presence in my life. Amen." Sam and Dr. Stafford had joined her in prayer, offering their silent approval. When Violet finished, a sense of peace and unity filled her heart. Dr. Stafford, clearly moved by Violet's heartfelt prayer, broke the silence. "Thank you, Violet," he said, with his voice filled with warmth. "That was beautiful. When you pray for others, those are the most noble prayers." A moment passed before Dr. Stafford continued the orientation. "Now, if you're ready, let's proceed to the first aid station." As they left the sanctuary, Sam and Violet paused to cast one final glance at the breathtaking space. The magnitude of its scale and purpose left a profound impression. Following Dr. Stafford down another short corridor, they approached another set of expansive doors. As they walked, Dr. Stafford explained, "The first aid station is just beyond these doors. If an emergency arises on the main floor, you'll likely pass through these doors to reach it." Sam and Violet understood. They also focused on the details of their surroundings as they walked. With a firm push, Dr. Stafford opened the door, revealing another corridor that ran perpendicular to the one they just exited. "This hallway runs behind the seating, along the entire perimeter of the sanctuary," he described, "and all the entrances to the main worship area branch off from this corridor." Almost immediately, they came upon a door marked with a bright red and white first aid sign. Dr. Stafford reached into his pocket, pulling out a key and said, "This door is secured with a keyed lock to restrict the access. As he inserted the key into the lock, he added, "On Sundays, typically, there are two or three medical staff members on duty here, but nobody is here today." As the door swung open, a young East Asian man wearing a suit came running down the hallway, his face flushed with exertion. Dr. Stafford remarked, "It's about time." With a chuckle, he inquired, "Where have you been?" The young man, clearly apologetic, explained, "I'm so sorry for being late. I completely lost track of the time." Surprisingly, this young man was the same man that was going over construction drawings, the drawings for the Calvary Christian Center, with Carlos the terrorist, just the previous night. His seemingly innocent and young face was somehow connected with some sort of future terrorist plot, likely a plot directed by Carlos. His role, assisting Dr. Stafford, gave him intimate inside knowledge of the church, the church's layout, and its operational routines. But for now, nobody else had a clue as to his hidden agenda, or what evil was about to come. Dr. Stafford introduced the young man with a smile, and with pride in his voice, "This is Cheng, a student at the University of Houston, here on a student visa from China. Cheng is my assistant." Then he elaborated, "Our church currently employs 6 people from the university, all of them here on student visas. It's just one of the many ways that the church reaches out, creating international bridges and better global relationships with the rest of the world." With a friendly smile, Cheng presented a bag to Sam and Violet, a small cloth carry bag with the church's logo on the side. "Here's some helpful information," he said. "Inside, you'll find a booklet containing a map of the Calvary Christian Center, with a directory. It should help you navigate the complex. There's also a map with the address of the Memorial Texas Medical Center, which is our preferred hospital for patient transport." He hesitated, then remembering something important, he reached into the bag and pulled out 2 hotel key cards. "And most important, these are your room keys, 2 rooms at the Houston Inn Express." Finding accommodations so close to New Year's was challenging, but I managed to secure a hotel about 15 miles west of here. Sam took the bag from Cheng. "Thank you," he replied, a note of appreciation in his voice. "We'll be sure to familiarize ourselves with this information." Dr. Stafford, sensing a momentum shift, turned to Cheng. "Cheng, I have some matters to attend to in my office," he explained. "Would you be able to continue the tour on your own? They've already seen the sanctuary, and we were just about to explore the first aid station." Cheng nodded in understanding. "Of course," he replied, his voice confident. "I'll take it from here." Sam and Violet exchanged a brief handshake with Dr. Stafford, expressing their gratitude for his time and guidance. With a warm smile, Dr. Stafford wished them well and handed each of them his business card. "Don't hesitate to contact me if you need anything." With a final nod, he turned and walked away, disappearing down the corridor. As usual, Violet took a moment to save Dr. Stafford's contact information in her phone. As Violet put her phone away, Cheng ushered them into the first aid station. "During our regular Sunday services," he began, "we typically have 2 or 3 registered nurses on duty to handle any medical concerns." He paused, his gaze shifting to a new calendar on the wall. "Tomorrow, like almost every holiday that falls on a Sunday, we're expecting near-capacity crowds for the morning services." Violet commented, "Wow, that's going to be a lot of people." Cheng continued, "We'll be hosting a total of 4 services throughout the day, with attendance gradually decreasing as the day progresses. The first service starts at 9 a.m., with probably over 15,000 people in attendance, and the last service concludes around 5 p.m. The first aid station was a compact yet well-equipped space, reminiscent of the medical facilities they had encountered at the Alamo Center. A couple of hospital beds flanked the room, surrounded by an array of medical equipment and an abundance of supplies. There was also a designated waiting room for EMTs, with comfortable seating and a TV. The first aid station seemed to be ideal, a comfortable space designed for efficiency and preparedness. Next, they walked outside through a rear exit door to view where to park the ambulance. Just outside the first aid station was a reserved covered parking area within a fenced and gated parking lot. "That gateway over there is automated," Cheng said, pointing at a large chain-link gate. "If you're arriving from outside the complex, a security guard will see you on camera and will open it remotely. If you're exiting, the gate will open automatically, triggered by an electric eye. Violet and Sam exchange satisfied glances. Having a designated, weather-protected parking space was a definite advantage. "This is all very familiar," Sam remarked. "We don't anticipate any issues." Cheng concluded the tour with a summary. "Remember, be here by 8:30 tomorrow morning," he said. "Pull up to the gate, and a guard will let you in. Park in the designated spot, and then come inside to the waiting area. You can watch TV unless you're needed. Our regular medical staff will handle the rest." He raised his hand in a questioning gesture. "That's it. Any last questions?" "No questions," Sam and Violet replied in unison. Sam added, "We've got it covered. We'll be here on time in the morning." With the orientation officially concluded, Sam and Violet returned to their ambulance. As they climbed into the cab, Violet suggested, "We should probably go to the hotel next and make sure these keys work. I don't want to be looking for a hotel room, especially this weekend." Sam nodded in agreement, pulling out his phone, saying, "I'll send Rocky a quick text to let him know we finished the meeting and that all is well." Unfortunately, all was not well, and Sam and Violet had no idea. Unbeknownst to them, a storm was brewing in the shadows. Carlos Mendoza, the mastermind behind this impending chaos, was lurking in the vicinity, his sinister plans likely having something to do with the Calvary Christian Center. Cheng, his accomplice, had played his acting role flawlessly, maintaining the facade of a dedicated and loyal employee. Even Dr. Stafford, a wise and respected leader within the congregation, remained oblivious to the darkness concealed within his organization. His pride in Cheng's accomplishments, a stark contrast to the young man's true intentions. One potentially scary detail, something Cheng mentioned: the church was expecting a full house tomorrow morning, a staggering 15,000 people in attendance at 9 a.m.